Raise your hand if you need one of these books. It's one per family. I got three. You don't need one? Yeah, you need one. Yeah, you need one. You got one? There you go. So far, I don't see any more hands. You need one? Yeah, you need one. Yeah, it's got yours. You got one, you got one, you got one. Who needs one? Hannah. All right, anybody else? I think I got a couple more there in the office if you need them. Okay. So what we're going to kind of do is I'm going to try to get a syllabus together. I think I have a part of one already for the class. Things you need to go ahead and start memorizing and reading so you'll be ready for the test. Okay, as we have those tests. And there are tests in the back of the book. If you go through there and find out the answer, so that's going to be a help. We'll probably go through it and give all the answers in the class before the test. The tests are not super hard. You can actually take them home, and I don't even care if you use your book. Just do them if you're in the class, okay? And the reason I'm saying that is because, to me, it'd be more important that you take the effort and do them than not, because I think it'll help reinforce whatever you learn. And then maybe we'll have a final, and that'll be no books. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Anyway, so this is the course we're going to start on, and this is the book we're going to use. And if you open up the book, you can see it's called How to Study the Bible. It's from David Cloud, Way of Life Ministries. If you want to find out more about David Cloud, you go to Way of Life Ministries. That's Way of Life, actually. It's all together, scrunchtogether.org, and that's his website. And he has lots of books on there and stuff. In fact, the course that I'm starting now, this one, I'd like to start some more courses, and I'm probably going to use a lot of his things. So far, what I've seen, he's really pretty good on most everything. I don't really have any problem with anything I've seen so far. So that's where we're at here. And so this is how to study the Bible. And if you go through and look at it, something's slowing down on me. Okay. You can see, just open up to the contents there. And again, the first thing it talks about, the author's relationship with the Bible. We're going to just skim over that. We're going to go over it, though, because it's in here. And it's good to know. If we're going to use more of his material, it'd be good a little bit note about his testimony and what he's done. And then what will this course do for me? That's a question that hopefully when you leave here you can answer that this is something valuable. We're going to go through two key passages on the study. One of those is in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and the other 2 Timothy 2:15. And then it's talking about studying the right Bible. Many of us, excuse me, Dr. Surrett went through that quite extensively. We may not go through it as much. I don't think Brother Cloud does too long of a study on that, but we'll hit that as well. We're going to hit everything. And then it's got some requirements for effective Bible study, marking your Bible, rules for Bible interpretation, study the Bible dispensationally. We've already talked about dispensations many times in this church. We'll do it again. And there's no set number of dispensations. Different people teach different numbers. I think Brother Cloud, he actually mentions 9. I think, I can't remember if it's 8 or 7, the ones I went through, but they're very similar. And all they do is they break up time in different. You can be a hyper dispensationalist or a, what's the other one? Ultra hyperist. In other words, you could break up Mark, Luke, and, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then break up John, or you can break up all four Gospels. That becomes ultra-high dispensationalist, okay? But anyway, we're not going to, we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, it's going to be, we're going to show Bible study tools. We'll introduce you to some of those today. Some of the things that he talks about, studying individual passages of the Bible, studying topics of the Bible, studying books of the Bible, studying people of the Bible, studying parables of the Bible, study one passage, study the types of the Bible, in the Bible, but anyway, studying Bible difficulties, and then he has some suggestions there as well. And as we go through this course, what it's going to do, it's going to open up an opportunity to see that there's a lot of ways to look at the Bible than just going and plodding through 3 chapters a day or whatever however your reading schedule is, whatever you do there. There are a lot of ways to really incite some excitement of the Bible. And it's amazing. When I study, and maybe for messages and different things, I see things that I haven't seen before because I look at it from a different perspective. It's going to fly away. Got to watch these books. So, but anyway, that's kind of where we're at. What'd this thing do? Said, I'm tired. Oh, brother. This may not work too good. This is on. And this is on. Okay, well, we got more than one way to kill a chicken. What? Well, and there's more than one way to kill a chicken, too, isn't there? Did I lie? Did I say something wrong? Can't we come up with a new saying? I'm sorry. Yeah, there is. Skinning a cat. Sorry about that. I say there's one, more than one way to skin a cat. Okay, sorry about this. Now this is going to make it dangerous. It's funny, when you test these things out, they work really well. And then when you get in the middle of them, it's like, okay. One other thing here. And this is really, this is not that necessary, but this was for Jim, because I know he has a hard time, so I thought if he had something to look at, he might stay awake. Is that okay, Jim? All right. I don't know. We'll see. Still put you to sleep? Let's see if it comes up. Okay, there it is. Looks like it's good to go. Okay, say okay there. This. Well, let me do what? All right, we'll come back to this in a second and try it the other way. Man. So what we're going to be looking at today is his testimony. And basically, to begin with, you go over and you can turn to that chapter. It's on page 6. And he talks about his testimony. Basically, what his testimony is he grew up in church. And as a little boy, he learned the Bible verses. He memorized many of those. And he was one of the, when they have the sword drills, he was able to get those done really quick. And so he was able to do a lot of that stuff and growing up. And but the thing is, he didn't read his Bible, and he didn't care about the Bible much when he did read it. So he very seldom read his Bible. This is just a synopsis of this chapter. You can read it for yourself. And so anyway, he didn't have any desire for it. And at the age of 10, he was baptized. He joined the church because he professed salvation, which he wasn't saved. Okay. Later in life, I can't remember his age exactly. I think he's six years older than me, so he probably would have been about 23 when he got saved. In 1973, he met a guy. And this guy was named, I had it on my slide there. We're going to have to dig it out of the book now. Ron Walker. And so he met Ron Walker. He stayed with him about 4 days. This guy was like a walking Bible to him. Of course, he didn't know the Bible that well. David Cloud didn't. And David Cloud was a hippie. And I'll read his testimony in a minute. That's on his website. But anyway, so he met this guy, and this guy kept throwing Bible at him. And he got to the point on page 7, he was asking questions. And, you know, it's like I said, the question would be, so what was it? Let's see here. Let's just read this chapter. At first, I was very impressed, and I'm reading the last paragraph before the questions. At first, I was very impressed with his knowledge of the scriptures and very interested in what he was saying. But after a couple of days, I became frustrated, and I said unto him, don't you have any thoughts of your own? All you do is quote from the Bible. That's a good way to be, by the way. He said, he replied something to the effect that his thoughts were not important, but the Bible is the very word of God. And Cloud said, well, I trust my heart. A lot of people do that today. And this fellow replied, well, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. And then Cloud said, well, I must go the way that seems right to me. And then he quoted, he said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so he's just, what is he doing? He's taking the Bible and using the Bible to help with this person. If we don't know the Bible, we can't do this. We're not going to be effective soul winners, effective disciples. And so this is part of the training that we are trying to instill in ourselves. David said this, how can a man know if the Bible is true? He replied, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 7:17. He said, there are many religions that lead to God. And then he shared, says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he did this for about, he said, 4 days, 3 or 4 days. And then he ended up in a hotel with this fella at the Daytona Beach, and they were deciding to go their separate ways. Well, that night he was convicted, and that night he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's see, I think it's on paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4. Look on page 9. This is what he came to the conclusion. He said, after he got saved, he said, from that day to this, I have loved the Bible, and I have never ceased to study it diligently. And that's what happens when you get saved. God gives you a love for the things of God, and the Word is His Word. And so that's what we're trying to learn and trying to grow in. And so David Cloud, I mean, he's light years ahead of me. This guy's written books. I think he says up there when he's 6 months old in the Lord, he wrote his first booklet. He was on fire. I mean, I think he ended up going to Tennessee Temple Bible College, if I remember right. And from there, of course, now he's a missionary. But let me just read his testimony he has on his website, too, we'll go through this. It says, David Cloud's testimony as found on his website. It says, David Cloud is founder and director of Way of Life Literature, a 45-year-old preaching and teaching ministry. In 1973, when he was 23, there it is, old, and living a hippie lifestyle, having hitchhiked across America, sold drugs, joined a Hindu meditation society, Brother Cloud was saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. Right away, he became an eager student of the Holy Bible and felt the call to preach and teach God's Word. Within 6 months, he had printed his first book on a biblical theme. Brother Cloud married his wife Linda in 1976, and God gave them 4 children and 9 grandchildren. The Clouds have had a pioneer missionary church planting ministry in Asia since the late 1970s. Way of Life Literature has published roughly 200 books in 15 languages, including the widely used Way of Life Encyclopedia of the Bible and Christianity. Brother Cloud is also the founder of the monthly O Timothy magazine, which began in 1984. In a nutshell, David Cloud is a servant of the Lord, servant of Jesus Christ, and apart from Christ, he is nothing. We join John the Baptist in saying of Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's his testimony as he got saved and has changed his life. I'm going to try to turn this on one more time. See what happens. On there. Can someone say hallelujah? Okay. It's a start anyway. I didn't want to be standing here doing this. Okay. So again, this is the course, How to Study the Bible, and it's by David W. Cloud, Way of Life Ministries. And I'll just go through these real quick. David Cloud's testimony. That keep you awake. No, maybe not. Okay, he grew up in church. He learned the Bible stories by heart. I just gave a synopsis. He could win sword drills. He did not read nor understand the Bible. He was baptized at age 10, joined the church. He had a head knowledge, but no relationship. Introduced Christ by Ron Walker, and he spent about 4 days. Okay, I've already mentioned all this. And that page 8, this is what he said about his testimony. I didn't read this out of there. But it says, that very night I became a fundamentalist Bible believer, meaning one who believes and has a zeal for every word in the Bible. I've never doubted one word of the Scriptures since that day, and how I thank God for it. And then, well, since then, we've already mentioned the fact that what he wrote there, he loves the Bible. All right, so let's go to the next slide. What will this course do for you? First off, it will help you to learn how to understand the Bible. And really, this is the crux of this whole thing, is that we as Christians want to know God's will. If we can't understand this, how do we understand the will of God? How do we know? It's like someone speaking to you. I don't know if you've been in a foreign country. Probably a lot of you have. But I've been to a lot of countries, foreign countries. I've spoke to a lot of people, France and Germany and Spain. Spain, went to Spain too, Africa and all over the place, but in South America and stuff. But you can't understand them. Now, they can try to help you with, signs and things like that. And maybe they speak a little English, but I speak nothing of anything else. You know, that's it. I'm done. And so there's no communication. So I really can't understand. And so the Bible is written for those that are born-again Christians. It's the same thing. If you're not a born-again Christian, this is going to be hard to understand, because the natural man, this is foolishness unto him, you see. And when you're saved, God gives you something to help you to understand it. Well, I'm not smart enough. Did anywhere in the Word can you find that God said you had to be smart to understand the Word of God? You know what grade level this is written at? Anybody guess what grade level is this written at? Okay, I've heard different, but I'll go with that. Eighth is what I said. Eighth is what I've heard. But we'll go with fourth. I don't care. But the point is, we are dumbed down in our society today, and it's written a little bit differently than we're used to, but we're so dumbed down that we don't even understand it. People go to college and stuff. They have no idea. But the main reason person can't understand this is because they don't understand the language. And that comes from the Spirit of God. It helps us. So what this is going to do for us is going to help us how to understand the Bible. By using the lessons of this course, the Bible will become a new book, okay? And what do you say? I say, every time I get in here and start digging, there's new stuff in here. Why? Because God's mind is infinite, and mine is finite, very small. And you know what? Most of us don't use even this much of our brain. And if we do, probably half of us got so much junk in the brain that you can't add anything into it sometimes, because it's full up with all the junk. So we got to get that out and get something else in. And that's what we're trying to do. So when we study the Bible, we'll find that the Bible will give us new light, new insight. As we study the individual books, the individual passages, the verses, and Bible words. And now that's something that I've been really enjoying the last little while, is that I'm going in and trying to dig out, at least look at every word. Most of them you understand the meanings, but there are some there that have deeper meanings. And then you go to the root and you can find deeper meaning, and you can keep on going. That's where you start learning and growing, and what does this really mean? On the surface, we think, well, you know, like the word grave, or you take the word, world, for instance. There are other Greek words that are for world. Some mean age, some mean decoration. And we have to look at those things so we can understand, because they're not the same word. They're a different Greek word. So that's important. It'll teach us, what's the next thing? Come here, I got a job for you. Sit right here, and I'll go, Ethan. And all you do, it's going to be hard for you, but just touch that. You got to push on it one time. Okay, thank you. Okay, so it's going to teach us how to use the best tools effectively. And we need tools. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, what is all that stuff? I never knew about that stuff when I first got saved. It wasn't something that I had in my house or that I went to and searched out and looked. I had this. And I had the preacher in the pulpit. And that was really the extent of my Bible knowledge, is what I read and got out of this, what the preacher told me to get out of this. And that was it. But there is so much out there. Dr. Childs, he was I really like Dr. Childs. He's still around. He's in his 80s, though. He'd come into class. We had one of these in class when we moved to the new building. I was in the old building originally when I started, and then we moved to the new one that spring. But he'd come in the room, and he'd jump up, and he'd grab a hold of that thing and pull it down. Now, he's about as tall as I am. But he'd jump up, and I remember we had a black fella sitting on the first row, and Dr. Childs came down and had the thing down. He says, "You didn't know a white man could jump, did you?" And I felt like saying, "Well, I didn't know an old white man could jump," or something like that. But anyway, he used to always say, he says, "There's nothing wrong with using dead man's brains." And what he meant by that was, there's nothing wrong going back and doing research that other people have come through this life. We're to teach each other, right? Iron sharpens iron, the Bible tells us. Well, there are a lot of Christians that have gone on before us that have already tread this road and know a lot of things. Now, you have to be careful. You have to know who they are. You have to know something about them, what they believe. Do they believe in Calvinism or Arminianism? Where they stand on the virgin birth? All those things, you need to understand some of that. But there are good people out there that believe the same thing we do. And so when we do that, and even some of the, I use a commentary. Let me just go over here, talk about this, because we're talking about tools. Notice this guy's got a hammer. Hammer is the best tool for every job. Can anybody say amen to that? Every time you got a job, you get a hammer. And if you can't find a hammer, just something real heavy. You know what I mean? But anyway, for us, we don't want the hammer. We want some of the tools that have been given to us. This here is a Strong's Concordance. Okay, I very seldom pick this book up anymore. I used to, but I don't anymore because I got it in a different place. But this is a book you can look up words, and you can find out where the words used everywhere in the Bible and those type of things. And it's a real big help to studying the passages and the words that you're trying to learn from. That's the concordance. It's got every word in the Bible in this book. Okay. This is commentaries. These are Sorensen. Sorensen's a fundamentalist. He came out, 10 years ago with this commentary, maybe? 15? Okay, somewhere in there. He has it online, you can get a digital copy. I can't afford one yet, but one day maybe I will. But because I already bought these, but these here, I like looking at books too, still. I can't put my Bible down and just try to do it on a screen. I don't mind every now and then, but if I really want to sit down and be serious, I want the book in my hand for me, so I don't have a problem. These are commentaries. This is a man's opinion about the verses in the Bible. His opinion may not always be right. I got 3 or 4 commentaries. I don't have a lot of commentaries in my office. There's a Wiersbe. He uses the New King James Bible, so I got to be careful. But the guy is pretty sharp. He has a lot of good stuff. And so I don't look so much at what he says about certain scriptures, about the words so much as what his ideas are. And also, it helps me, too, to guide me because I can be wrong in some things. But I got 3 or 4, and if you look in all 3 of them, there are times when I find 3 different opinions. And I always use these last. This is not the first place I go. First place I go is the Bible. And I try to compare Scripture with Scripture. I don't have one out here, but there is a Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Very good book to have because it cross-references verses all throughout the Bible. You can go on there. You can look up a verse. It'll give you cross-references of that verse. And you can go look through there and find lots of different verses that you can compare with and study each of those out and come out with a better understanding of what is being taught. But also, you have to look at things in context. This is a Baker's Bible Atlas. Basically, it goes through. It's a book I had to use in college, but I use this every now and then. It talks about, as you go through the Bible, the different things and where people go and stuff like that. So this is good to know that knowledge. I need to spend more time doing this and teaching this because we lose sight of this. Probably most of us, if we looked and said, where is Jerusalem at in the Old Testament times, in the New Testament, either one, I guess, but in the New Testament specifically, we might not even know where it's at in the world. I'm not going to ask, do we? But this will help. Those type of things will help. This, Fox's Book of Martyr. This is a great book if you want to study about Christians who have served the Lord throughout the years. Most of these folks have died. They all have died. Let me back up. All of them have died. All of them died for the cause of Christ. This is a Bible dictionary. You can look up words in it, and it'll explain those to you. This is also a Bible dictionary. This is David Cloud's Bible dictionary he came out with not too long ago. These are encyclopedias, Baker's. I have David Cloud's encyclopedia that he mentioned in the book, actually online. It's on my computer program. So these are just some things that will help you. The biggest thing that I use is this for the most of the time. Now, Sorensen's not on there, so, and Wiersbe's not on there, so some of the commentaries that I use most aren't on there. But there are probably, I can't remember the exact number, I should have got all that stuff, that information, because we're going to talk about this later when I show you those who have this, how to use it. But this has probably 20 commentaries on there at least. It's got all kind. It's got the dictionaries, the 28, thank you, you're good. It's got the 1913 on there too. It's got Treasury Scripture Knowledge. It's got Knave's Topical Bible, which I don't have one here, which is something that helps you to take a topic and go through and look in the Bible and look at all the places that topic's used. This has got a ton of information on it, and it's very cheap. This cost, I think it's $50, between $50 and $60. If I got five people who want this, I can get it for $30. So if there are five people in this room who would like to buy this, come see me, and we can get you have to buy a multi-pack is what it's called. They used to only sell them to missionaries, but now they open the door to just about anybody who wants to buy one. But I can get five of these for $150, that's $30 a piece. So anyway, just so you know, talking about teach you how to use the Bible tools. And that's what this book and this study is going to do. It's going to show us how to use some of those books. And what I want to do in that is that's why we'll have these out here for most classes, is I want you to come out after we look at these things and learn a little bit about them, is to look up things in these books. Demonstrate that you know what these books look like and what the purpose of them are. And it will help you. Because if you don't do it, well, I know there was a bunch of books on that table, but I don't know about that strong accordance. I don't know what's in there. It's good to go in there and look at it and see how it's used. It's got two sections in it, and it'll teach you really how to more beneficially study the Bible, unless you get that computer program, and then you're all set. You don't need that. But anyway, so hit the button one more time, Ethan. So what will this course do for you? It will help you learn how to study the Bible fruitfully. I give a testimony today. There are times when I've read the Bible and it was unfruitful. I just got done, didn't know what I read. Said to myself, well, I got to go back and read that again because I don't know. I've just read three chapters and I don't even know what it said. Because I was daydreaming or sleeping or whatever. I'm saying we want to read the Bible with understanding. Why? Because that's where the will of God is to show us. If we read it and it's gibberish to us, then we're not getting nothing out of it. We don't have anything to take with us that day to help us to do what God may direct us to do. And he does use the Word of God to direct us in our lives. So we want it to be a fruitful study. And when you do this, you'll get excited about it. You'll find out that you can apply it to your life. And what really is neat is that you find out it works. And then you will be set. Because you know that what the Word of God says is going to come to fruition if you do it His way. That is so neat to see that happen. And everybody's experienced that. I know that because you're saved, at least those that are saved. It'll give us a wealth of practical tips on how to... I'm already ahead. Hit the button one more time. Whoa. See, just in case... it will help you how to be persistent in your Bible study even when you become discouraged or bored or distracted. You know, most of the time, that's when we need it the most, is when we get discouraged. That's when we need to go to the Word of God and find out what's in there for us. How can God help me? How can He lift me up today? How can He strengthen me? What does He have for me in this day? And so there's not a person in this room can say, well, I never struggle with reading my Bible. I never read the Bible and not get anything out of it. Every one of us go through periods of dryness. We're reading through and it's not, we don't get a whole lot of it. But we read it and we knew what we read, but still God didn't say something to us or challenge us in a way. Now some preachers preach that you don't drop the Bible until you find something that God tells you to do something. If you don't get challenged at it, you keep reading it. And that's, I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but most of us do not have time to do that because most of us are so busy with life that we don't have time to really spend time with God's Word. It helps us when our minds are wandering, we get distracted. It'll give a lot of practical tips on how we can get through those periods. Hit the button, please. Ta-da, the light comes on. We get fresh ideas, okay? It will give you many fresh ideas for studying the Bible. And that's what's so neat about it is when you start looking at it from just the perspective of, I'm reading through the Bible, Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And I'm going to finish this whole thing up. Instead of looking at things that way, like I say, you pick out a topic or you pick out a name. You pick out a specific person in the Bible. A passage in the Bible, something that you feel compelled. One of the most fruitful times in the Word of God is when you have a question about things and you search that out. What does God say about that? What's God trying to teach me about that? Because He'll give you that answer. If you have a question, that question is there for a purpose. And that's why we go to the Word of God and find out, what do you say about this, God? What is the idea here you want me to do? Go ahead and hit the button. So it's going to help us to understand the difficult things of the Bible. David Cloud has a book out. I can't think of the name of it. That's right. Thank you. He's got a book out. I got it on my computer now. But it's a book that really it helps out. And there's some hard passages in the Bible you don't understand. He doesn't cover everything because there's still some more in there. Because I look in there every now and then trying to find something and go, where's it at? It should be in here. These are things hard to understand. But anyway, it does help. And you go back there and he breaks it down. He shows you how to understand that. And it just makes a lot of sense. So there are things there that are going to help us to do that. Also, it's going to help us to understand the parables. Sometimes those parables are not easy to understand. And the Old Testament types. Melchizedek, who is he? What did he do in the Bible? Well, you can study that type and see. There are people who say there are contradictions in the Bible. Do you believe there's contradictions in the Bible? I don't, but you know what? I can show you places where I can make you think there are because we don't study the Bible and really understand the whole scope of it. It's easy to do. And that's why people, especially the Christians who are not really serious about serving God, they're easily led away by some other denomination or some other group because they can sit here and tell you and show you things and you can't figure it out because you haven't studied it out. And that's when you need to go study it out. It'll help us with different doctrinal passages. It'll help us understand those. There's a passage in Hebrews. I can't remember the chapter. I think it was 5 or 6. It was talking about the... They had tasted of the heavenly gift, okay? He's talking, Paul is writing, the book of Hebrews written to Jews. And I wrote the paper, and I studied out in commentaries, because in school you had to go get sources and all this stuff. Well, I wrote it from the perspective that I thought it meant, which was these guys got saved, and because it says you can't crucify Christ afresh, okay? So I thought, well, they got saved, and so you can't go back and not get saved. You're saved, forever, and that's what this is teaching. You can sin, but you can't lose your salvation. It's teaching just the opposite. There are people who have tasted the heavenly gift. In other words, when you sow seeds of the Scripture to people, that's tasting of the heavenly gift. And if you don't accept it and receive it, you're not going to be saved. And so these people were never saved. And you thought, well, are you sure about that? Well, as I studied over the years, I feel pretty confident that's exactly what it's teaching. But there are some commentaries teach the opposite. This commentary will not teach you that. And there are others that will not as well. But anyway, there's a lot of difficult passages in the Bible, and still a lot to learn. All right, hit the button again. We're going to probably close on this one. This is so neat, because this is why you're here. Why are you here? This is why you're here. So why am I here? This is why you're here. What do you mean, this is why I'm here? Right there. To help teach the Bible to others. That's why we're here. Basically, when you come to church, you come to worship the Lord, but you come to learn the Scriptures. That's the whole purpose of church. It's almost like school. We don't call it school, but that's sort of what it is, because it's also got power through the Spirit of God. As the Word of God is preached and the Spirit of God speaks, then we take and apply it in our lives and we study it out again. So why? We can go tell somebody else. What happened to David Cloud in 1973? First off, what happened when he was 10 years old? Anybody remember? Very good. He was baptized and joined the church. So Did he have a zeal to go tell anybody about the Lord? Did he care anything about the Bible? Did he care about anybody lost? No. Why? That's right. It didn't matter to him. A lost person, it doesn't matter if you tell somebody about the Lord or not. It doesn't matter. You don't care. Why would you care? Because you're really not saved. When you get saved, that starts transforming your life, and God starts doing something. As Cloud expresses this, and I can agree with his testimony very strongly, because this is what happened in my life to a degree, that when I got saved, not to hit the degree he had, this guy had more zeal than I had in my little pinky, okay? But my whole concept was, I want to serve God doing something, and I want to know what the Bible teaches. That's why I went to Bible college. Well, that's kind of what he did in 1973. All of a sudden, he got a new vision. He started writing books, and now he has a vision, and he's got all these books out. Why did he get those? Is to help others to know Jesus Christ. That's why his life is on this earth, and he would tell you that today. That's the purpose of his life, is that others may know Christ. He has a great teaching ministry in doing that. I'm going to read Hebrews 5:12, and then we'll maybe make it to that one last slide, or one last point. And this is all in your book, so you can go back and read it. And if you're reading your book, I'd encourage you to start in page 16 and go to, I think it's page 23. I'll look at it in just a minute for next time. And I want to encourage you to read the book, because you're going to get more out of it. And it's good to reinforce what you read. If you hear it one time, you're probably going to let it go out your ears and not hear, think about it again. But if you actually read it, hear it once or twice, it'll stay longer. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Paul is writing here, and so talking about teaching Bibles to others, he says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And that's a verse in Cloud's book, and it's a verse that tells us that we as Christians, that's our responsibility, is to be the teachers. Not necessarily to be preachers, not necessarily to be Sunday school teachers, but we ought to teach our family, our friends, and folks that we come in contact with and have the opportunity. That's our responsibility. And let me say, I may have misstated this many times, but for instance, a wife, her responsibility is to be a keeper of the home, teaching her children these things. That is important. We've lost that today because of the two economy family that we think we have to have. We don't have to have it, but we think we do, because if we don't, we can't have all the things we want sometimes. But anyway, maybe something should be left unsaid, but I said it. Let's go on to the next one. Well, hold it before we do that. As we think about this, and this is part of Cloud's thing too, he was talking about this world. He said that, and this is a reminder. I say this a lot, and sometimes I don't think we take it serious. I know sometimes I don't even take it serious. But we live in a dark world today. I'm serious. A dark world. And those that are not saved are walking in the dark world. Whether they are ignorant or not, they are just following along in that path. And again, that's another reason why we want to understand the Bible and be able to share it with others. We have a good example. We're not going to go there. But Philip, when the Holy Spirit led him, there was a man there that was seeking the Lord. And the Lord knew about this. Philip did not. What did the Holy Spirit do? Do you remember? What did the Holy Spirit do? Philip was sent to Philip was sent to somebody. To a eunuch. That's right. Why was he sent to that eunuch? Do you remember? He's reading the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says he's reading Isaiah 53. And he couldn't understand it. And the Spirit of God led Philip to a man. And you know what? We don't know if Philip opened a Bible or not. I would say that maybe he shared with that guy his Bible, but he preached Jesus Christ to him right there out of Isaiah chapter 53. Why? He was prepared. He was prepared to do it. And that, again, is what we want to do. So now, go ahead, Ethan, and hit that button one more time. This is the last one today. What will this course do for you? It will protect you from being confused by false doctrine. And that is true. You know, if we don't know what the truth is, it's easy to fall for a lie. If we don't know what the Bible says, it's easy to take somebody else's paraphrase or thoughts or the way they think about things and use that as scripture, because there's a lot of good people, a lot of people that care about you, a lot of people that love you, a lot of people want to share with you and stay, things like that, but a lot of people who don't know the scriptures. And they give you advice based on how they feel about things. Is the Bible a book to teach others it's about how we feel? Or is it a book to look and say, thus saith the Lord, that's what God says? Which is right? It's the Word of God, always. And so that's the thing that we need to be careful so we don't be confused by false doctrine, is that it's not about the feelings. You can love somebody deeply, but they could be living a lie. They could be living and not following God at all. So what are you supposed to do with that person? How do you show love God's way? You think about it. Maybe you can come up with that answer. But the Bible teaches us what to do with that situation. So here, this is the thing. What will this course do for you? It will help you learn how to understand the Bible. It will teach you how to use the best Bible tools effectively. It will help you learn to study the Bible fruitfully. It will help you learn how to be persistent in your Bible study, even when you become discouraged or bored or distracted. It will give you many fresh ideas for studying the Bible. It will help you understand the difficult things in the Bible. It will help you teach the Bible to others. It will protect you from being confused by false doctrine. And so that's kind of where we're at. Now, we're going to go ahead and close in just a second with a prayer. But I want to, for those who are serious and want to do this, I'm going to tell you, go ahead and give you some pages to read so you'll be ready for next week. Starting in page 13, and if you can read all the way through to page 21, okay? Those are basically two topics. Well, this is two key Bible passages on study. I was thinking I might get through today, which there's no way. And then studying the right Bible. And that's kind of where we'll probably try to end up, or somewhere in there next week. And if you're looking at being ready to take a test, Acts 17:11 and 2 Timothy 2:15 are the verses that you need to memorize. Most of you know those or halfway know them. You heard them many times. To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Right. And so the other one may be a little more difficult because it's something they haven't learned. And we'll also look in that passage, those passages then. But we're not having a test next week or anything, so I'm just telling you that ahead. We're just going to go ahead and work to that end. And if you want to, while you're going through and reading, fill in these questions in the back. Answer these, and you'll be way ahead of the game. Okay? And so, all right. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer and be dismissed. Let's go ahead and stand, everybody. All right. Matt Ryan, would you close us, please?